Chapter 15. Thursday, April 14th, 0011, New Era. Eden Command. Everyone in the conference room focused on Judge Kentwood as he adjusted his bifocals and cleared his throat.
Detonation occurred at 0814 hours on Thursday, April 14th. Scouts confirmed the detonation with a visual check just before 1100. There were no hostages taken, and as far as we can tell, no survivors. The access lift caved during the course of the explosion, so it's only right to assume that any Bachma who might have survived below ground will perish. As far as we're concerned, this chapter's closed.
There was a quiet in the room as Kentwood lowered himself into his chair. Pauling leaned forward.
Thank you, Daryl. I assume a full report will be ready within the next few days.
Yes, sir. We'll have a unit investigate the site on hand. Hopefully, we'll be able to get deep enough down there to get some kind of salvage. Unfortunately, we aren't sure how probable that is, considering the facility was destroyed internally.
Our priority was to incapacitate the base, and that was done. Salvage was secondary.
Before he could comment further, another judge spoke up. It was Richard Lena, one of the youngest judges in the High Command, at 36 years old.
I think it should be duly noted that General Thor was once again present during the operation.
I was going to mention that again as well. It's only a matter of time until he gets killed. Perhaps we should consider a reprimand of some sort. We have mentioned this to him before.
The room became quiet. Pauling's expression was momentarily distant. Then he turned to Kentwood.
No, that would only spark retaliation.
With all due respect, sir, it is we who are in control of Eden, not General Thor.
Thor is too valuable to lose. If he feels he's losing his authority, he may pull himself and everyone at that facility away from us.
Lena interrupted.
Now wait, the backlash from such a retaliation would be overwhelming, sir. I mean, does he truly think that those soldiers would, if given the choice, choose to side with him?
Yes, he does,
said Pauling.
And he'd be right. Keep in mind, Mr. Lena, that Novosibirsk is run more by the Nightmen than by us.
Which is something else that needs to be addressed. It's high time we let the General know that Novosibirsk is, contrary to popular belief, an Eden facility.
Several of the judges closed their eyes.
Thor is a unique situation. This is a case where it's in the best interest of both Eden and Thor if he is allowed to do as he wishes, provided he doesn't get out of control. We've had this discussion before.
I second that.
The vote of confidence came from Judge Rath, who sat several seats left of the president.
Thor is too valuable to lose. The minute he feels we're threatening his authority, he'll pull himself and every Nightman away.
Pauling looked at his watch.
I'm sorry to have to call this meeting to an end early, but I have an important call coming through concerning the proposed facility in Sydney. Before we leave, are there any further comments, questions?
Silence presided over the table until Kentwood cleared his throat. The rest of the High Command turned to face him.
Yes, sir.
Very well, Daryl. Go ahead.
As you know, sir, I've been doing a lot of work with intelligence lately.
He reached down to the tabletop, where he produced a single sheet of paper.
There are some...
The sentence trailed off, and his eyes lingered on the document in his hand. The rest of the room watched in silence.
There are a few things I have found that concern me. I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time to discuss this, but I've come across some interesting findings. I don't have a full report ready, but given time, I should be able to produce one. I was wondering if I could be allowed full access to the intelligence department. Supervised, of course.
Several of the judges raised their eyebrows.
I don't want to report anything that I can't prove, or at least back up to some degree. Given a few weeks, I should be able to have a full report of what I'm talking about on your desk.
I don't have an issue with that. I'll notify Kang tomorrow. Is there anything else? Very well, then. We'll convene again tomorrow at 1500. You're dismissed.
The members of the High Command rose and filed out of the room as Kentwood gathered his papers. Before he could step out, Judge Rath approached him.
What exactly did you find that's so intriguing? Is it something we should be aware of?
No. Not yet, anyway. It's probably nothing. Just me looking at things too critically.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I guess not.
All right, well, good luck with the report. I look forward to hearing about it.
Kentwood bowed his head in dismissal. He made his departure from the room, and Rath followed several steps behind. Rath slowed to a stop just outside the conference room. As soon as Kentwood disappeared ahead of him, Rath scanned the hall until his gaze came to rest on the eyes of another judge, Malcolm Blake, who stood at the far end of the hallway. The two locked eyes for several seconds before the brown-skinned Blake nodded in acknowledgement and disappeared around the corner. Rath remained in front of the conference room doors, where his gaze sank to the floor. Several moments passed before he, too, turned to walk away. The meeting area was left empty, and the doors to the conference room left closed in silence. 2032 hours. Novosibirsk, Russia. Jaden stared at the bottom of the bunk above him.
That's twice in a row now.
Over 12 hours had passed since the strike on the Vakma outpost, and the unit was divided. Scott, David, Kevin, Constantine, Max, and Svetlana were among those injured enough to require medical housing. The others remained unharmed in room 14. While most of those in the medical bay were expected to be released within the week, Max and Constantine were in for considerably longer recoveries. Beacon, in his own bunk next to Jaden, said to the Texan,
Twice they left me out.
Right.
I'm serious. The bug hunt and this one. The only mission I get to be a part of was Chicago.
Jaden's hand reached down to drag his cowboy hat from the floor. He lifted it to his chest.
You didn't want to be at the bug hunt. And what are you talking about? You saved Remy's life. Saved Slitlana's too. You think they could have lived through that without you?
I did that on my own. They still never picked me to go on the team that got to do stuff.
Right.
Beacon said as he rubbed his face. Though it was late, none of the operatives slept. Aside from Beacon and Jaden, the only others present were Galina and Varvara, both of whom exchanged quiet conversation on the other side of the room. Curfew seemed not to matter, as none of the other non-injured operatives were there.
Scott's the only reason I got to do something. I feel useless.
If you were useless, you wouldn't be here at all.
I just want to be a part of the action, that's all. I want to be called out to fight. I want to be given responsibility, like everyone else is.
You need to talk more.
What?
Remy talks to everyone. It's not that he sucks up. He doesn't. But he just... well, he talks. The more you talk, the more people get to know you. The more they get to know you, the more they trust you.
So you're saying I don't talk?
You don't. All you do is say, yes, sir, and snore.
I don't snore.
At that point, the door to room 14 opened, and Commander Baranov stepped inside. Beacon and Jaden observed as he offered a subtle nod to Galina and Varvara, then closed the door behind him. The two women replied with somber smiles, and Baranov lumbered toward his bunk. As he sat, the frame of his bed sank several inches.
Start talking,
Beacon urged Jaden under his breath. Jaden cleared his throat.
Hello, Commander.
Gentlemen,
Baranov said as he leaned forward to untie his boots. He released a long breath as he stretched his neck to the side, where it popped out loud. Jaden cleared his throat again.
How are you doing, sir?
As good as one can be on a terrible day.
Are they letting anyone into the med bay yet, sir?
Yes, I am just coming from there now.
How is everyone, sir?
They are all resting now. Max is lucky to be alive, but he will pull through. Kostya is also full of luck.
How's Svetlana?
She's not hurt bad. Her armor saved her from that, but I do not know. I think her heart has died already.
Why did that happen this morning?
I cannot give you an answer for that. There are things that happen that do not seem as if they are right. There are many things that the general does that many people do not agree with, such as what you have seen today. I know I do not like it. I do not think I could ever order such a thing as he has ordered, but General Thor is one of the greatest military leaders to ever live in any time. If you look at history, and look at the history of all the other Eden generals, you will see that nobody else even compares. He does good work. He just does not do it in a good way, if I may say that. Tolya had a choice today. I cannot tell you why this is true, but Tolya did what needed to be done. We may not like it, but we are not required to like everything. The general knew that there was no way the base was going to be captured, and so knew that it had to be destroyed. He had to make sure that it was destroyed the first time, and the only way to do that was to leave someone behind. If Tolya would have disobeyed, he did what he had to do.
What would have happened?
If the base would have needed a second attack, there would have been more loss of life. The general knew this. He did what had to be done for the situation to work the first time, and that is why he is such a great leader.
A great leader? That great leader killed one of his own for no bloody reason. Doesn't that upset you at all?
It does, but what can I do? I have cried my tears already. Tolya was my friend. I had known him for a very long time. But what can I do now? Nothing I can do will bring him back. They've lost comrades before, and it is not something I enjoy at all. But it is inevitable. There comes a point where death does not surprise one anymore. One comes to expect it. I will probably die here. The two of you will probably die here. It is something that has to be accepted.
Accepted, yeah. But not in the way the lieutenant died today. He should be here now. The bomb went off, there were no problems, and he died a needless death. And what about Svetlana? What is she supposed to do, eh? Do you think everything you're saying now is going to make her feel better? She's still going to be alone. And tomorrow, she'll still be alone. She can't even fall back on the mindset that the lieutenant died a hero, because he didn't. He died because some bucket of snorts told him to die.
Today, a Bachma facility was destroyed. That is what was supposed to happen, and that is what happened. The general did what he felt needed to be done to guarantee victory.
You never answered my question. What's Svetlana supposed to do? How is she supposed to take all of this?
She will grieve. That is her right. It is what is to be expected. She will hurt as we all hurt when we lose someone we love, but she will move on. She is a strong-hearted woman.
If she had the right mind on her, she'd take a gun and blow that plunker's head off.
That is enough.
Enough until when? Someone else is told to die?
I said that is enough. You are not expected to like everything that goes on here, but you will accept it. That is how things are done. Now that is the end of this discussion.
Yes, sir.
Jaden quickly answered. He turned and glared at Beacon.
What? You're going to get us fired.
Oh, you gackawacka. No one's going to get fired.
Well, you better watch how you talk to the commander.
Blarney, I could take that overgrown ape any day.
I can hear you, you know.
Beacon and Jaden shifted their attention to the commander. His eyes were still closed, and his hands still rested behind his head. The rest of the room was silent. Jaden flopped down on his pillow and turned away from Beacon.
You need to talk less.
Oh, dry up.
The infirmary sat in quiet desolation. Two rows of beds were occupied by those injured in the outpost assault. With the initial bustle of stabilization over, the aides exchanged whispered conversation as they prepared to clock out. The evening had set in. There was a disinfected stench to the air. Wounds of various degrees, full burns, clean incisions, open holes, poured their peculiar odors into the atmosphere. Despite attempts by the medical staff to dampen them, the smells lingered, a reminder of the mortality that loomed over Novosibirsk. It was past 11 when the last lights were turned off and the last nurse made her designated nighttime round. For Scott, it couldn't have been more welcomed. The room had been silent all day, and aside from the occasional cough or grunt, it remained that way. It was fitting that when it came time for Scott and David, who had been comrades from day one, to engage in conversation, their first words were not words at all. Scott's lips parted, and he released a solitary sigh into the silence. The noise disturbed little, but it did garner David's attention.
What are you thinking?
That you just sounded like my fiancé. I'm thinking things were a lot better about a month ago.
I keep thinking about Sharon. I keep thinking about the look on her face when that Eden officer comes knocking on the door and tells her that her husband is dead. I see Stevie and Timmy running to the door to see why their mom is crying. And she asks the man why. And he can't give her a reason.
That's not going to happen.
I have two sons. They haven't seen me in 2 months. I want them to see me again.
They will.
You keep saying that, but how do you know? What if Thor asks me to do what he asked Anatoly to, and I have no choice?
He's not going to do that.
David offered no response. Across the room, a soldier's cough disturbed the air. Scott's gaze remained on David until the older man said,
I shouldn't be here. I should be home, being a father. I should be doing something safe, selling real estate, giving financial advice. Something that gives them something other than a knock on the door and a total stranger.
Dave, back at Richmond, you were helping me through the same thing with Nicole.
This is different now. Now, we're being told to die. Tell me you haven't been thinking about this, too. Look me in the eye and tell me you haven't been thinking the same thing after what just happened.
I haven't stopped thinking about it since Chicago, but...
The infirmary was quiet. He was supposed to say something. What was he supposed to say? Wisdom? Realistic expectations? That was David's department. What did Scott have to offer?
None of us are promised tomorrow. Not me, not you, not Sharon or Nicole. We live in a world where things happen all of a sudden. But I know things happen for a reason. I know everything happens for a reason. I like to think they happen for an overall good. That's just a little too far ahead for us to see. I know that God has a plan for me. I know He has a plan for you. I know He'll never put me or you or any of us through something we can't handle. I think about it all the time. That same scene you replay in your head, I see it too with Nicole. I love her, Dave. I cannot be terrified at the thought that I may never see her again. But I know that every night I pray and ask God to watch over us, me and Nicole, and you and Sharon and your kids. Every night I pray for as many people as I can remember their names. Everyone in the unit here, everyone in Charlie back home, everyone. I don't do this to feel self-righteous or to feel good about myself. I do it because sometimes prayer's all we've got. I believe God listens.
David's gaze remained on Scott, but his eyes fell distant. Several seconds passed before he replied,
I wish I had your faith.
No, you don't. I don't have enough.
It was true. All of his talk about spirituality, his reading of scripture, and when night came, his fears were the same as the most faithless around him. His faith was there. It just wasn't as strong as it needed to be. David cleared his throat.
You hear anything about Svetlana?
Scott leaned back his head. He didn't want to think about Svetlana. It hurt too much.
No. I don't think she got hurt too bad. Just...
Yeah, I know. I don't think I can take it. I don't know how she's taking it now.
She's across the room, but I still haven't heard her say a thing all day. I know she's not hurt that bad.
Poor thing.
She wanted to die with him. Just run down the hill and get mowed down by the Bakma. She was ready to do it. If she'd have made it to him, there's nothing she could have done. Just died with him.
Would you have done it for Nicole?
In a heartbeat.
Me too. You saved a life, you know. Why'd you do it? You didn't have to. The transport would have been there in another minute, and she might have been fine.
Might is too big a risk. I couldn't accept that. She would have been killed.
You could have, too.
Just felt like the right thing to do.
You'll always do the right thing, even if it kills you, huh?
I hope so. You better not have just jinxed me with that.
What are you gonna do if I did? You'll be dead.
I'll haunt you. What do you think Beacon and Jay are doing?
I don't know. Whatever Jaden's doing, I'm sure he's doing it very quietly.
Poor guy.
Jaden's great.
Awesome shot, too. That whole Chicago thing would have been ugly if he hadn't been there. Guy's brilliant with an S-27.
That's his job.
Yeah. I think the fact that he's a sniper makes him seem cool.
Yeah. Want to hear my Jaden impression?
Sure.
Well, howdy, Pilgrim. Reckon I better pull out my trusty old sniper rifle and rustle me up some extra terrestrials.
That was the worst impression ever.
Shut up.
You actually did a really good job of not being him.
Man, shut up!
Do you two ever stop talking?
A voice from several cots down interrupted the conversation.
Yeah, you two quiet it down over there!
Scott fought off a laugh. David was 40, but there was still some kid in him.
Idiots.
The man from several cots down murmured.
We better be quiet. Some people need to sleep.
All right. We could be respectful just this once.
Scott relaxed as they laid in silence, and the natural sounds of the night resumed. After a time, David whispered,
I'm going to try to get some sleep, but I have to say this.
Come on, man, we got to be quiet.
No, I really mean what I'm going to say. You're a good guy.
What?
I mean that. You do a great job as a soldier. I mean, you won a Golden Lion on your first mission, but what you did up there for Svetlana, that was something different. Nobody else was willing to do that. And I respect you a lot for it.
Scott began to speak, but David cut him off.
I know what you're going to say. It's okay. Just accept it.
Thanks, man. Really. I appreciate it.
Keep praying, man. Don't ever stop doing that.
I won't.
Good night.
Night, Dave.
Scott rolled back onto his back and stared upward. A good man. If that was all he accomplished in life, that was okay. If that was all Nicole thought him to be, that was even better. His eyes slid shut, and the sounds of the night once again took their place in the room. The rest of the infirmary was quiet. Within minutes, they were both asleep.